Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining my session with the title Cloud, It's All About the App. And the title gives it away in a sense that we've probably heard enough about clouds and private clouds and public clouds this week, this month, this year, if you will. But I want to focus in my session on the app because the app is what we need to have our business run. And of course, the cloud is important, but we'll dive into my session looking at how the app is being managed, being deployed by System Center on several types of clouds, public and private. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Maarten Goet. I'm a System Center MVP from the Netherlands. In my day job, I help enterprise companies deploy clouds and apps on their clouds. And I'm here to share some of that knowledge and some of that System Center knowledge we have from previous projects. Now, we've been using IT for many years in a traditional way, physical servers, and of course, in the past 10 years, more virtualization than anything else. But clouds are inevitable in a sense that in our private situation, we see that customers and employees use public cloud services and they expect the same kind of response internally as well. So, private cloud and all the attributes that we get from private clouds is something that we'll see getting to our business in the near future. And I want to talk in this session about how System Center can help you manage that, monitor that, and deploy applications in a cloud fashion and a cloud way. And with the launch of System Center 2012, we see that the suite itself is really focusing on cloud and data center management. And there are three pillars to the suite. The first one being a productive infrastructure. We want to group the resources you already have and set in motion this journey to creating a private cloud internally. But with that, we want to support a heterogeneous environment. So we want to be able to support VMware, Zen Server, Hyper-V, all the major hypervisors out there, and create a productive infrastructure. We also want to deliver on process automation because it's not about technique only. We want to make sure that, for instance, if we're doing a self-service request, that there's a process in place that can actually help you do reviews, add financial statements, and all the other things we need to do from a process. And of course, provide that self-service experience so that users, whether they're IT departments or end users or employees, can request those services from our clouds. The second pillar to System Center is that we want to help create and help maintain predictable applications. We want to see deep into the application, its working, the performance, the availability, things like configuration, security, and capacity. We want to have deep application insight, something that that other vendors aren't doing today that we can do with System Center and Hyper-V. And we want to do it from a service-centric approach. It's today that our applications are more than just one app and one server. The service we're providing to our end users is something that consists of multiple components, and we want to manage it in one group, in one service, if you will. The third pillar being that it's the cloud on your terms. We want to be able to grow with your business, want to be able to grow with the IT you have. We want to provide things like delegation, role-based access across the cloud, so not only internally for the private cloud, but also for the public cloud. And of course, we want to manage all the layers, so whether it's physical, network storage, the virtualization stack itself, plus the cloud abstraction layer that we're providing on top of that. And we'll be looking into those two right-hand pillars for the next few minutes. Now, System Center wants to help you deliver IT as a service, where we have the same characteristic as that we have with the public cloud. So we want to provide a self-service experience based on that service model. So we want to create services, we want to maintain services, and those services should be able to be requested through that self-service portal. And based on that request, we want to have a process in place that does the business steps, like a review, an approval, or a denial. We want to update financial statements, update the CMDB, but we also want to be able to provide the runbooks, the orchestration to really provision a service or to upgrade a service based on that request. And we want to be able to deploy it, whether it's a public cloud, a private cloud, a virtualization stack, physical server. You want to do it from a single console, from a single process, from a single runbook. And we want to be able to, once we get that in place, make sure that we monitor it, operate it, maintain it, and that we can do a good management of that situation. Now, the products that System Center delivers on for self-service are App Controller, and we'll look into that further on in this session. Service Manager for the self-service portal. We'll have Orchestrator for the runbooks, Service Manager for all the business steps in the process, and then things like Virtual Machine Manager, Operations Manager, Configuration Manager, and Data Protection Manager for configuring, deploying, monitoring, and operating all the services we have on our cloud. Now, like we said in the beginning, it's not about clouds per se. It's about the application we want to have running on our cloud and want to do it in a scalable, standardized, and predictable way. And the first thing that we need or that we get with Virtual Machine Manager 2012 is Server AppV. And I think most of you might know AppV from the desktop side, where we package up applications into what we call a sequence or a bubble, if you will, and they run virtually on top of the operating system without any big ties, so we can just upgrade the OS or upgrade the app independently of the other side of things. Now, that same AppV we get now on the server side with VMM 2012. And again, here we can package up a server application, we can put it in a sequence, put it in a bubble, and run it virtually on an operating system. And things like the binaries, the DLLs, the registry keys are all wrapped up in this server app V package, and we'll have a look at that in a demo further on. Now, that server app V package is actually part of what we call a service template. In previous versions of VMM, we had VM templates where we specified the VM hardware configuration, the operating system configuration. But with VMM 2012, we get these service templates. And in the service templates, we design how our service looks and how it should be deployed. So we add things like the hardware configuration, like the OS configuration, but we take it one step further. We also provide the application configuration, and the AppV packages are part of this service template to be able to deploy a consistent application every time. Now, that definition we make in VMM, that service that gets deployed, also gets pushed out to Operations Manager. And with Operations Manager, we get what we call a distributed application. We get a visual representation of that deployed service, of the components, and of the state of those components. And it delivers us some insight into the inner workings of the application and its performance. Now, based on that service, based on VMM, and based on all these deployed items, we can actually take App Controller and provide a visual way through a web browser for end users to consume that service, to deploy a new instance of that service, and to really take control of that service as an end user. Now, if you look at standardized application provisioning, VMM, like we just said, with the service template, plays a big role in making sure that we have standardized way of deploying the applications. And in service templates, we can specify multiple tiers. So if we have an application that, for instance, has a web tier, an app tier, a data tier, we can actually specify those tiers. And we can specify a scale-out policy. So, for instance, we can specify that once we deploy it, we get one instance of an app tier, but based on, let's say, performance pressure or end-of-year kind of things, we can actually have a scale-out policy that adds multiple instances of that tier. And a tier can be things like IIS for the web tier, an application server tier, and then SQL, for instance, for the data tier. And just like we did with hardware profiles and VM profiles in VMM 2008, in 2012, in a service template, we also need to specify, of course, what's the hardware template for this tier. If we use dynamic memory with Hyper-V, what's the startup memory, what's the maximum memory, and things like the number of vCPUs. So we specify the hardware profile for that tier. Up on top of that, we specify the OS profile. So we do things like what's the type of OS, is it the 32-bit or a 64-bit? Things like the roles we want to enable. In our case, for this web tier, we want to enable an IIS role, of course. We can specify things like features and all the configuration you would normally get from, like for instance, a sysprep answer file. On top of that, with the service template functionality, we can specify things like an MS deploy package, and an MS deploy package being the name for, if you will, a packaged up configuration of an IIS website, of an IIS configuration, and we can configure IIS itself. Same thing for the app tier, a hardware profile, OS profile, but in this case, we could package up the application in an AppV package, and the AppV package would be part of the application tier. And if you look at the SQL tier, ActiveVMM offers quite a neat new functionality where we can configure the SQL instance. Now, with SQL 2008 R2 and higher, SQL can actually be added to an image. It can be made image ready or sys prep aware, if you will. And you'll get a basic installation of SQL onto that image. And then during deployment of the service, we'll actually start configuring SQL the way you want, the account, the security, but also the DAC pack images. Those are, if you will, the SQL configuration for what's the database name, what's the database initial size, and all the databases you want to have running on that SQL instance. Now, that whole template we save into the VMM library, and we can use that from the VMM console to just deploy an instance of this service. But from that library, we could also set rights for an end user, for him or her to use the app controller website to deploy an instance of that template themselves. So if you look at the application delivery lifecycle we have, it starts with specifying the application we have we want to have running on our cloud, and specifications like we just saw, all the technical characteristics and the tiers that we have that make up the application. We put that in what we call a service template, so the service template being the starting point in VMM that will tell VMM what to deploy on our cloud. Then customize the deployment. For instance, if you have certain configuration strings in your service template, you could say, I want to, during deployment time, specify passwords, username, typical server names, or you could do things like differentiating this deployment between test non-production and production deployments. Of course, then deploying the service, VMM itself being the product that will deploy the application to your, in this case, private cloud. And then on top of that, once the template is deployed, we can actually make changes to the template. We can actually update deployment using VMM based on this new template. Now, the application profiles are important because, like we just said, it allows us to do the configuration of the OS side. So there's no need anymore to have a VHD where you have a sysprep ensor file. You can just have a general VHD of the OS type, and we can use VMM to do the configuration, no matter if it's Windows 2003, Windows 2008 or higher, or even with SP1 of System Center, we'll start supporting Windows Server 2012 as well, of course. Now, on top of that, we can do the definition items, things like the time zone, product key, admin password, all the things you would typically do in sysprep. And we can also, from VMM, from the service template and from the definition, specify prescripts, postscripts, and scripts in general, so that we can actually run other types of software as well if we want to make that a part of the deployment. And there's actually a customer I've worked with that uses another deployment to do things like SAP and Oracle, and we've been running those scripts as part of the VMM service template as well. Now, the SQL profile, like we said, is important because we can configure the SQL part of our service based on the template. From that, we get consistent configurations, but we also support things like named instances, so not only the default instance. We can do product key differentiation for different types of environment. We can specify the media source. We can specify who should be the initial administrators for the SQL instance and what should be the security mode, things like SQL security or Windows security. We can specify the network configuration, named pipes, TCP, IP, all those kind of things. And we can actually specify a SQL configuration file as well. All these things we can do, things like connections, setting up the connections from the service template and the service accounts that we will be using for our SQL agent or the other pieces of SQL that we have. Now, server at V, like we said, uses sequencing. So we would need a typical Windows Server with the same type of OS, and much like on the desktop version, will run through the installation while the sequencing app will actually capture all the things we're doing, the files we're deploying, the registry files we're writing to, and we'll capture that and we'll put that in a sequence. Now that will actually be deployed through the service template, and the most neat part is that we can actually track changes between template A, template B, and all the versions we'll have of the template. Let's say that in this example we'll have a web tier, data tier, and app tier, and the web tier is based on IIS, but I want to move it to Apache or another type of technology. We can actually update the service template, and again, because there's no real ties between the OS, the app, and all the other items, we can just exchange a certain technology out, and during update sequence, we'll actually refresh that server and make sure that we have the new items in place. Based on that, we actually can do predictable applications and available applications. Now, server app V is a bit different than the desktop app V, because in the desktop app V, it's really 100% separated from the OS. Now, if we would do that on the server side, we would run into a few problems, because if you, for instance, look at monitoring software, we want to have a look in a Windows service that's running or have a look into the bubble whether or not the application is running. So server app V is a bit more loose than that you have on the desktop version, but in general, it works in the same way. And we support virtualizing things like Windows services now. We support virtualizing web applications on top of IIS, and we support all types of accounts like local system, domain accounts, and so forth. Now we can actually, from that app V sequence, talk to other parts of the operating system. So there's no real need to not package up an application, because we can talk to things like Complus, DCOM, WMI, SQL reporting services. We can actually interact to the other parts of the operating system as well. So we can neatly put everything into an app V sequence. And the things we can package up are things like registry settings, COM, Java apps, .NET components, etc., etc. Now, the server app V package, of course, can be part of multiple application profiles. So I could have a service that uses a certain type of middleware, and I've packaged up the middleware into a server app V package, and I can use it in application profile A to deploy that service. But given that the server app V package is also in the library, I could use it in other application profiles as well and deploy it to other services on my clouds. And what you actually see from the wizards in VMM, that I can use these connection strings and all these items to specify the runtime configuration. Things like what are the connection to certain server names, what's the account we need to use, is the setting mandatory for the application to be deployed, and things like encryption, so that if we use passwords during runtime, that they are encrypted and not passed over the network, clear text, of course. Now let's have a look at a demo. What I want to show you is how that actually looks in VMM. Now, I'm running this on my laptop, so if you will, I'm running a private cloud on my laptop with Hyper-V and then the System Center family on top of it. And I'm opening up VMM 2012 to have a look at my situation. And as you can see, I only have one Hyper-V host running. It's actually responding. And if I go to the library and I scroll a bit down, you actually see the library space on the left-hand side, and it has a few folders where we store all the items we'll be deploying for our service. And if I walk through there, you'll see the different type of SQL DECPACK packages that actually specify the configuration for database. But if I look at the SAV folder, you actually see that I have a virtual application package, a sequence that I can use in my service template that contains my business service, and I have things like SQL, the VHDs, and all the things we need to create our service template. Now, if I go to service template, you'll actually see that I created a template called Stock Trader. And if I go into the designer, you'll see that it consists of four tiers, a middleware tier, a SQL data tier, a web tier, and a middleware tier. And if I double-click the SQL tier, and like we just said, it had versioning, we can actually have a look at the SQL tier. And you can walk through things like the hardware configuration, in my case, one vCPU, static memory, but we could also use dynamic memory. Then the OS configuration, which is new in VMM 2012, I can specify the admin password, the product key, the time zone, but more importantly, things like roles. If I want to do, for instance, the web server, I can enable features, join domains. Now, if I go to the application configuration page and I click Add, here's where you'll see that you can actually add the SQL packages, the virtual applications, and the web applications, or use scripts to deploy other kinds of application types. And if I look at this tier, you see that there's a stock trader DB that's actually being created during runtime. And if I go to SQL server configuration, you'll see that we'll configure a SQL instance called MS SQL server, and that we can do things like who are the initial admins, service accounts, etc., etc. Now, this is one of the four tiers. As you can see, we've prepared all four tiers, one having two web applications. And if I click on that web application, that web tier, you'll actually see here at the bottom that we can specify a scale out. So in our deployment, we'll have a default instance, default one instance, but we can scale up to five if we need to, for instance, if we have a, if we need more performance. Now, we've set in the template, and I'll show properties, that we can specify service settings. So these are the service settings for this template, for this service, like what will be the admin password, what will be the web machine name, the things we need every time uniquely when deploying this service. Now, they're not mandatory, they're not encrypted, but they're just for illustration purposes only. If I go back to the designer and I click configure deployment, you can actually see that I can, and I'll type production just to have something. You'll actually see on the left-hand side that these settings are prompt for. And we can specify for this deployment the different kind of settings we need to do. And it'll figure out on which machine, on which host, on which cloud to provision this on. And this, of course, is on the UI side of things. But given that VMM is built on PowerShell, all the things I click, all the things I show are available through PowerShell as well. So you can specify a deployment of a service template through PowerShell as well. Now, like we said, we want to create a productive infrastructure. So with VMM 2012, we have the opportunity to not only connect to our hypervisors, and like we said, it's Hyper-V, Citrix, VMware, all the major vendors, but we can also connect to our storage. So in my case, I have a NetApp emulator running on my laptop, and it actually emulates a few LUNs. But if your storage has support for SMIS, we can actually connect back into your storage and from here start using those LUNs when provisioning hosts and or VMs and or services. And we, for instance, can connect to load balancers, things like Microsoft NLB, Citrix NetScaler, F5, and make sure that once we use load balancers and we provision an extra web host, for instance, that we update the load balancer configuration so that extra server is actually used for users. And we can do things like logical network configuration. And with SP1, with Server 2012, we'll actually support all the new VLAN, all the network capabilities in Server 2012 as well. Now, if I go to the VMs and services workspace, you actually see that we have an X section where we can create clouds. And I'll quickly run through the wizard to say, ticket NA production cloud. And what we can do is we can take certain hosts, take certain VMware resource pools, and carve out a certain cloud where we'll be running our services on. Now, I only have one Hyper-V host, so I'm selecting all hosts. I'm selecting the production network. Don't need load balancing in this cloud. I'll click gold storage to be enabled. Any libraries we want to connect. But the most important page would be the capacity. What capacity do we want to carve out of the host storage network we have? And we can limit it on the number of virtual CPUs, on memory, on storage, on custom points. For instance, if you're using the portal and you want to specify different points between VMA type and VMB type, or just share the number of virtual machines. Now, we'll leave it for now on unlimited. It's a Hyper-V-based cloud and we'll finish that up. So that's actually the cloud we then can deploy to, and like you saw in the deployment wizard, it'll find out what's the best suitable host and start deploying the services on there. Now the stock trader service, like you see, has already been deployed on my laptop. And you see that VMM has an understanding of how the service actually is deployed. So not only do we see the VM name, in this case, for instance, StockSQL 001, but we also see the databases under there, and we'll see the service as a whole. And in my case, it's actually stopped at the moment. But once I click Stock Trader from above, you actually see that I can start the service as a whole, and it will take into account which VMs we need to start, in which order, etc. But we can also set the scale out, like we said. If we need that extra web server, if we're running into performance issues, I can just select the web tier, hit next. Don't even need to specify a name. It's all standardized in our template. Hit next, 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 and it will just provision another tier, another VM, another configuration based on our template. And if we have that load balancer specified, it will update the load balancer as well. And again, from here, you can see that it's all PowerShell based. We can just take that PowerShell commandlet and use it in a runbook or other types of automation to make sure we automate these steps. Now we'll actually start the service. There it goes. And it will fire up the VM so we can use them in our demo steps later. So that's about deploying consistent and flexible applications in your private cloud. VMM is a key piece to getting that done, and make sure that you use service templates to deploy those. Even if you just deploy a VM, a basic VM at maybe one or two roles, package that up in a service template. It will be greatly beneficial in the future when you want to refresh the OS, if you want to do monitoring. All that information will be pushed from VMM to other System Center products. And that will only be done so using service templates and not just the VM template. Now, like the session title says, cloud is all about the apps. It's not about the private cloud per se. Of course, Windows Azure has the capabilities to run applications as well. And in the past few months and years, that's been mostly platform as a service, where you can take your .NET applications, put them in Azure, and you can have them running within minutes. But like you heard in the keynote, like you maybe saw in the announcement last week, Azure will be providing infrastructure as a service as well, where you can take the VHD and actually spin up a VM in Azure and even run a more custom application, and maybe not even .NET, in the Windows Azure cloud as well. Now, within private clouds, VMM has a big role, using the service template like we just saw. And within Windows Azure, we're really talking about packages and the configuration for that package so that it can run within Windows Azure. But the manageability side of things, of course, stays the same. Whether or not we're running it in a public cloud, private cloud, our belief is that you'll have a hybrid environment in the near future where you need to maintain both situations and do deployments, do monitoring. You want to have a look at the number of users, the performance, even if it's running in Azure. And you want to be able to manage it end-to-end. And this is where System Center 2012 also plays a role with System Center App Controller, where we can actually control both the on-premise situation and the public cloud situation as well from System Center App Controller. Now, if you look at Windows Azure, from App Controller, we can actually connect back into whether it's your Windows Azure production subscription or the Windows Azure staging subscription. What we actually need is certificates. So if it's a private key or a one-time generated certificate, we store the private keys in the App Controller database, and from there on actually connect back to the Windows Azure Management API and use the public key to validate our connection to our various Azure subscriptions. Now, in App Controller, you have under settings, you have the subscriptions pane. You can actually add the Windows Azure subscription from there. If you have the subscription ID, if you have the private key with the password, you'll be able to connect. And based on that connection, you can actually use role-based security to allow other end users to create services, deploy services, start or stop services based on the rights and security you set for them. That means that we can actually take advantage of the standardized templates that we have in VMM through App Controller as well. We can have set rights and have other end users deploy instances of the template. But with that, like we saw in the Cloud Wizard, we can actually enforce the quota. So we will take into account, even from App Controller, if we still have enough points or vCPU or RAM to deploy the template based on your security. We can, of course, maintain templates from App Controller. And it's a single management point that actually connects to private and public cloud. We have job auditing. We see what's going on. And we have things like change history, which you can have a look into. So let's have a look at a demo there as well. I'll actually minimize this one, and I'll connect back to Windows Azure. And let's hope the internet connection works, okay? I'll log in with my live ID. And you'll see the new Metro-style management interface for Windows Azure, which is actually quite neat. And we get into the dashboard of all the services that I'm running on my account. I actually have one cloud service, one storage service, and one database service that I'm running. And if I connect to the cloud service, you actually see that I have one service provisioned called Contoso My To-Do. Now, My To-Do is actually a sample from the Azure SDK. It's on the Microsoft.com download site. If you want to play around with Azure, want to have a pre-compiled package you can run on Azure, you can just take My To-Do for you to play around with. I've set up My To-Do, and as you see, if I click on My To-Do, I get into the application dashboard as well. Have a look at the current percentage. Now, it's just running below 1% even. I have two cores, two instances, if you will, provisioned. And on the right-hand side, you see that this is the URL to my application. And if I click on that, it should actually open up the application, which is more or less of my to-do list, which I can edit and sign into. From here on, I can do some basic things like monitoring, like we saw CPU percentage. We can configure items. We can set scale. We have two instances, extra small VM, et cetera, et cetera. If I go to App Controller, and I'll start it up, again, it's a web-based interface, App Controller running myself on-premises. I need to log in with my AD account. Of course, I'm the domain admin, so I'll be able to see everything, but based on the security I have, I might only be able to look at the services that I'm consuming. And you can see here that in my App Controller, I'm both connecting to my private cloud, my VMM, like we just said with the TechEd cloud, and I'm actually connected to Windows Azure as well, because if we go to settings and we go to subscriptions, you see that I have the subscription ID that I just logged into connected to this App Controller. And in the keynote on Monday, you saw that we'll actually in SP1 be supporting service provider framework, and will actually from App Controller be able to connect back into other VMMs that your hosting provider may be delivering to you. Now, if we go to the clouds page, we get this overview for both my on-premise situation, the two private clouds I have, plus the Azure cloud, and you actually see characteristics of those clouds, the number of capacity we can have. We can have a look at the virtual machines. Again, for now, it's more private cloud, but with the introduction of Azure infrastructure as a service, this will be something you'll be seeing in Azure as well. You can see the four VMs that make up our service for StockTrader. But even better yet, if we click services, you'll actually see the StockTrader service. And if I click open diagram, I can see the four tiers we specified with the four VMs that are running. I can right-click and do things like start, stop, suspend, shutdown, based on the rights I have. And the same thing more or less for my Azure service. If I click open diagram, I see my to-do, and we actually see that It has one deployment, a production deployment with two roles, two instances. And again, here I can do things like configure, start, stop, and all the things I want to do from a control standpoint. Now, we've talked in the previous slides about Server App V, and I want to give you a hint on how to use that from Azure as well. Because, like we said, in the previous months, Azure was more or less a platform as a service offering where you took your compile.net and put it in Azure. But what if I took all this time to put my applications into a Server App V package and with the promise of being able to scale out to public clouds, how would I do that? Well, VMM is actually providing us a tool called Microsoft Server App V Packaging Tool. It's still in CTP, still in beta, but it'll be released quite soon. And what we actually can do is take this Server App V package and we can actually convert it, if you will, into an Azure package. So I can click my storage account, things like the access key, which is something you can get from the Azure portal. Let's take it. And we can take what we call the SPRJ file, which is a project file for server application virtualization. It's the one you created when you sequenced the application up. So the original source files, original source project, you can take the project, hit next. We'll hit next another time. Again, here we can say we want the VM size, extra small, small endpoint certificates, number of instances, 2. We want to enable remote desktop. And then when we click upload, it will actually upload this package, convert it into Azure, and we can spit up services there as well. And this is, again, another step in allowing you to take that AppV package and move application around depending on the needs you have for your organization. Now, if we look at the on-premise side of things, there's actually a new... where is it? Here we go. There's actually a new management pack we have for Service Manager, which is called Cloud Services Process Pack. And the Cloud Services Process Pack allows you to create these cloud attributes on your virtualization stack through Service Manager. And the Cloud Services Process Pack consists of various items. It consists of runbooks in System Center Orchestrator that allow you to provision the request we'll be having. But it also consists of the templates, the forms, if you will, for the self-service portal for an end user or an IT department to request their VMs, their services. And what you see here is that the Cloud Services Process Pack has been loaded. On the left-hand side, you see Cloud Services in the Service Manager console. And then if you look here, we can configure items like the cost center, cost properties, general properties, all these things we need to create our cloud attributes. And I've already filled those in, gone ahead of time, and created this situation within Service Manager. And then if we have a look at Orchestrator, the product that will be running our runbooks, you actually see that we already have several runbooks that allow us to create and provision things based on the requests. Now, if I look at the end results and I go to the web portal, then here we see the System Center Service Manager portal. It's actually a web part in SharePoint. If you look on the left-hand side, you clearly see this is SharePoint, and I've gone ahead and cleaned it a bit, took a white theme, and you can see you can customize this portal. You can even take that web part into an existing SharePoint. But what do we get from the Cloud Services Process Pack is more or less when I click Private Cloud, the request offerings you see lined up here. So I can request a capacity pool, I can request a service, I can request a virtual machine. And the virtual machine is quite straightforward. Those are based on the VM templates. I can go to the request form and say, my IIS production VM will put it in the production capacity pool, a name, prod 001, or leave it blank for Orchestrator to figure out, number of virtual machines, 1, can select a template, Windows Server 2008 template, can select a network, a decommissioning date, and the initial user that will get access to that VM. and we'll hit next. And what actually will happen is a service request will be raised. The end user, as you can see by the hyperlink, can follow it through the web portal. But from Service Manager, if we go back to Service Manager, there's actually an item called Service Request Fulfillment, where we can follow up all the process steps we need to do, things like review, approve, etc. Now, if we go back to the portal, there's one neat thing, is that we can request those services. So where App Controller is used when a service is already deployed and you want to start, stop, and control the service, you could use the Service Manager portal to request that service. So let's say I want to have a non-production version of this stock trader service. I want to go ahead and provision one to do my tests on or do my upgrade path on. I can say non-production request for stock trader on the production capacity pool. We'll go and refresh it here. I think that's a resolution problem here. It should show up my stock trader. I should actually select stock trader. Again, hit next, and then it'll do the same thing for the service instead of the VM. And depending on the workflow we have in Service Manager, we'll kick off all these steps, and Service Manager might call upon Orchestrator to do the provisioning in VMM for that service. Now, that's nice and all, but I want to get insight into the deployed application. And one of the things, apart from performance, availability, which we'll look in the next few minutes, one of the key items of cloud, of course, being is that we get insight into the usage and the billing and the payments we'll need to do for using that service. Now, with Azure, it's, of course, quite straightforward. I need to put up there my credit card, and I'll get a monthly statement, and I pretty much know what I'm spending and how much I'm using. But internally, that's, of course, something we might need as well. And like we saw in Service Manager, where we can actually specify the cost properties, so what does a gigabyte of memory cost a day, what does a gigabyte of storage cost a day, we'll put in there all these basic information. But based on that, we can actually connect back to what we call the data warehouse in Service Manager and use things like reports or Excel to report on the usage. And one of the things the Cloud Services Process Pack delivers on is a sample Excel file that uses Power Pivot. And I'll quickly pull up. Here we go, a sample report that allows you to show the number of VMs that are provisioned, the time they were running, and thus the costs that are associated with using this capacity. And these are things you could filter on, slice and dice through the information, or even with Excel 2010, save it to SharePoint so that other people can navigate through the information as well. Now, this service, again, is something that we need to maintain. And one of the other items that System Center delivers on is what we call Data Protection Manager. And Data Protection Manager being the product that will actually do backups and restores of the items that are running on your cloud, on your application. And we can do in backups of your application. Even when you only have an agent running on Hyper-V only, you can still backup into the VM and into the application. And in this case, I've already set up the backend piece of it. The agents are running on the various machines. And if you look at protection, we actually have a protection group, as we call it, that is protecting the various databases. Now, setting up protection for your application is actually quite straightforward in DPM. If you have a look at the wizard, we can say, I want to protect server technology. And for instance, I'll click stock SQL. It'll connect back to the agent or the Hyper-V box that the VM is running on and give me an insight of the components that are on there. And we'll say all volumes C. And for instance, we want to backup SQL eval. We'll hit next. And we'll call this the SQL sources protection group. I want to do short-term protection on disk, long-term on tape. Next. I want to retain the information on disk 5 days, and I want to have a backup or synchronization every 50 minutes. We hit next. It'll calculate the storage you'll need. Next. Same for tapes. I want to store it for 3 months and do it weekly. Hit next. And just hit next. Want to create a copy now or later. And I'll just finish up this wizard and it will start protecting actually the replica or the data, and it will create a replica on this machine. Now the fun part with DPM is that, again, there's a part of self-service in this product as well. If we go back to the VM, the stock SQL one, we can actually see that there's a, if we TS into it, there's actually a self-service UI that the DPM delivers. There we go. Called DPM self-service tool. I think it's still copying the SQL bits. But what the DPM self-service tool allows you to is actually connect back into the DPM server. We'll create a new recovery job. And if we want to restore the stock trader DB, I can just be a DBA without any real DPM knowledge. I'll say I want to restore a database called StockTraderDB of this SQL server. I want to have the copy that we created this morning. Next. Copy to network folder or to the primary SQL server. Specify the server. See restore. Next, apply security settings of the recovery point version, and it'll start recovering the MDF, LDF file, and etc. And now we can do the same thing for plain files, and there's a big component of self-service to DPM, as you can see. Okay. Now, of course, managing the applications that are running on our cloud is not just deploying. It's not just starting and stopping those. It's just not only backupping or providing reports that we see for usage, but we want to have insight into the real working of the application. We want to monitor the application. We want to have a complete monitoring solution. So we want to start up at the infrastructure level, want to see storage, want to see network, want to see hardware, want to see the base operating system, and we want to see the application on top of that. And not only the server side, because traditionally we've been monitoring the server side. Is the IIS website up? Is the web service up? All these server side things. But we also want to look at the client side. So with System Center 2012, we provide a function called APM, where we'll actually have a look at the client side and the response time for loading a web page, the response time for loading images or doing SQL queries from that page. But we'll have a look, a deep look into the client side. Apart from that, we can use what we call synthetic transactions, which are, if you will, user simulations, pre-recorded testing paths that we actually run every now and then to check if the web server is still running. We could have a web shop where we click through and see at the end if that order fulfills, and that's the proof of the pudding, making sure that the application is running as a total. And we want to do it across platforms, so not only for Windows, but also for Linux, Unix. We want to do it for SQL and Oracle, IIS and Apache, and want to do it for public cloud, private cloud. We want to do an end-to-end monitoring of these components, and this is where Operations Manager from System Center comes in, and where management packs ever actually deliver the promise of monitoring those from a single pane of glass. Now, Microsoft provides a Windows Azure Management Pack. We also have a SQL Azure Management Pack, and there's even an App Controller Management Pack. But with the Windows Azure Management Pack, we can actually have an on-premise operations manager connect back into Windows Azure to see the state of our roles, of our hosted services, of our deployment. And it pretty much works the same way, is that we still need that certificate that we used for deploying our Windows Azure subscription. We need to have the private key on our side in Operations Manager to be able to connect back into Azure, and we'll be connecting back through the Windows Azure Management API. Now, that API can be connected from either the management server role in Operations Manager, where you could also designate an Operations Manager agent somewhere in your network that has network connectivity to the internet, and then connect back into Azure to get the states. And from that on, we can connect to both worker roles, web roles, but also things like table storage connections. And again, with Windows Azure developing, the management pack, of course, will develop as well. This is not something that's uniquely to 2012. We've been having this since 2007 R2, but with 2012, it's actually taken a step further. And all these monitoring you get, you can put into a distributed application and get a total view of our application, both whether it's the on-premise components or whether it's the Windows Azure components that we have running on the internet. Now, if you look at application performance monitoring, the new part in Operations Manager is APM. It was formerly known as Evicode. Microsoft acquired it in 2009. And in 2007 of Operations Manager, it was a bit of a different agent, a different structure you needed to do monitoring. In 2012, it's fully integrated. You can just enable application performance monitoring for a certain .NET application. What we need is that the servers that are running .NET have an Ops Manager agent. We go to the authoring side of Operations Manager. We define the application we want to monitor, and the application and all its components will be discovered through the management packs. Now, once we get that discovery, we can actually set the thresholds for monitoring that application, the service side of things, the performance threshold that we think we want to meet, the service levels we have, the operating levels we have. But we can also do the client side, where we'll actually inject some code into the pages so we can monitor load times, exceptions, and other things going on from the client side. Now, those are the basic pieces that we actually pull the information back into Operations Manager, but again, then we need to start consuming that information. And this is where Operations Manager 2012 also evolved, is that we now have really, really neat dashboards. What we do is we actually select a folder to show the dashboard in, and we can right-click and say New Dashboard View, and we can create a dashboard of our application. We can choose a template, for instance, 5 cells, 2 cells, 3 cells, a certain layout for our dashboard. And we can add what we call widgets, and a widget could be a performance graph, an availability list, a map, but it's extendable, so we'll see vendors coming out with widgets as well. I actually saw a blog post 2 days ago of somebody who created a Hello Kitty widget, which I guess is more an example than something you really need. But those widgets are things you can extend on. So we can select a widget and in the end create a dashboard that we can delegate to a certain application owner so he or she can actually see the information. And we'll actually do that in this demo. There we go. So I'll switch to Operations Manager. Some of you might have already seen it, but Operations Manager 2012, of course, can monitor the Windows servers. We can have the alerts for any problems that may be going on in our environment. But one of the things that's really new is network monitoring. And on the left-hand side with these folders, you can pretty much see the management packs that I'm running. There's almost a one-to-one relation between the folder and the management pack I'm having. And in this case, network monitoring is built in. And I have 4 network devices that I'm simulating in my demo environment. Now, if I look at, for instance, a switch, I can actually look at the diagram view, and it'll show me a graphical representation of the switch, all the ports, all the items that the switch consists of. And you'll see one port being red, and if I open up these, you'll actually see other ports that might be having a more or less clear circle, a white circle. That means they're not monitored, but that is because they don't have a cable in there or it's administratively down. And we'll actually detect that, and once you plug a cable in, we'll start monitoring them. So these are the individual components. Oh, I closed the full console. But I also have the dashboards, like we said. So I want to dive into the switch and get an understanding of, for let's say the last 24 hours, how was the performance, how was the throughput, are there interfaces that are failing. If I go back to the network devices view, and I take that same switch, then on the right-hand side, I can actually say network node dashboard. And it'll pop up the dashboard for this network node. We can see availability. And with any luck, yeah, on the left-hand side, we should see the vicinity view. And vicinity view actually is a neat thing where we'll see the neighboring switches, the neighboring routers, and we'll actually start detecting your network and start creating the spider web of the network that you have. Now, for the node dashboard, things like response times, processor usage. Now, this is also simulated, so not too much information there. Oop. It's not going too well, my mouse. And I can do the same dashboard for the total network environment, and I guess that's clear as well. We can see the top switches, the top throughput, etc. Now, those are the more basic elements, so the network, storage, the hardware. If we look at the VMM integration, the Virtual Machine Manager integration, and I open up these views, you get the information from VMM on the status of our host. So in my case, my laptop, I can say diagram view. Yep, and it should show my Hyper-V hosts. There we go. And we can open up to see the several the different VMs under there and the OS running under there, etc. So we get the host information. I'm going to not close the full console. There we go. The storage pools, we had the LUNs that we got from our storage. The information will be pushed through to Operations Manager. So if I look at, for instance, the performance view, I get the total used capacity, or the total capacity versus the used capacity, also from VMM. Now, the same goes for the service, the stock trader service. If you look at stock trader, and I do diagram view, the definition we had in VMM will actually get pushed through Operations Manager, and I'll get a clear insight of the service that's actually running. Now, if you look at public versus private cloud, one of the announcements we had in the keynote is that we actually have global service monitor. I'm not sure if everybody picked that message up from the keynote, but it used to be called outside in. It's now called GSM, Global Service Monitor. And what we actually can do is, in Operations Manager, we can monitor the availability of web applications. And that's been around for a long time now, and we could do that from internally from an Ops Manager agent looking at if a certain web server is available. Now, with the new GSM functionality, we could say, test our corporate website from the internet, and we'll select the management pack. What to monitor, and we'll say www.tegit.com next. Oh, need to give it a name, Tegit. Oh, we need to specify HTTP so it knows it's port 80 and not port 443. That's better. But now with GSM, you actually see in this window two things, internal location and external location. External location is actually new, and it'll be released with SP1. Internal makes sense. If I do search, I get my Ops Manager agent, so I could say from my domain controller, check if that website's up. If I do it from external location and I hit search, you actually see a few sites in the world, Zurich, Paris, London, Singapore. Those are Azure POPs, so Azure data centers around the world that we can actually use from there to monitor this website externally, and it'll give the information back to Operations Manager to see if it's running. So I could say I want to monitor it from Los Angeles and I want to monitor it from Miami and see if the websites are up. Next, and they will actually show up as states from those locations. If you look at dashboards, other dashboards you get, of course, out of the box are things like the Windows Server dashboard. If I go to a Windows computer and let's say it's my laptop, on the right-hand side, I actually get, here we go, a Windows Server dashboard. I open that up, and I get things like CPU utilization, memory utilization, disk, network, all in one neat place. And these are things we can adjust, looking at the dials here. We can create, we can use security to give somebody else this view as well. So these are great views to start off with. Only these are quite basic. Oh, there's a question. So the question is, can we still use the GSM functionality if we're not an Azure customer? So I guess on how to purchase it and how to use it, it's not been disclosed yet. But my understanding is that we need to have a paid-for Azure subscription to use that. And I guess there'll be, but don't pin me on this, a separate pricing plans for just using the GSM functionality. And my guess is that we'll be paying per transaction or per several transactions per site. So, but given that the SP1 release will be somewhere end of this calendar year, that pricing and availability information will be there. But it will be an SP1 feature. I'm running some pre-beta bits of SP1, and the whole technical side of things will be in SP1 at least. And in my case, I actually had put in my Azure subscription, so I guess because it's already a paid subscription, it will just work. Yeah. So the dashboards we just saw were, to me, still quite basic. You might want to do a more advanced dashboard on your application, and like we saw, we can create these what we call distributed applications, of course. And distributed applications could be easy in a sense, basic, that it's just a website using a database and we have this synthetic transaction simulating if the website's still running. But what if we have a more advanced situation? Well, actually, there we can have Visio to the rescue. We can just take a Visio dashboard, a Visio drawing. And, of course, that's something you need to prepare for yourself because you need to specify how your application is working, but maybe already did when designing this application. And with the new Operations Manager add-in, we can configure the connection to OpsMan. We can take just one of these components and say, we'll group this up and say, we'll link this shape. So we actually take this Visio shape and link it back into an item within Operations Manager. And what you'll instantaneously see is not too big, though. A check mark next to the database plus a connection back into OpsMan. We can do it for all these items and hit F5 and we'll have a full screen, well, more or less monitoring dashboard. But the neat thing with Visio is that we can actually save it back into SharePoint again. And when we do that and we have a look at this SharePoint side of things, then I've created a default website, just a plain default site. I've created the folder, dashboards, and I've put the Visio files in here. And now if I click on the Visio file, you actually get the situation live. It's rendered live. It changes live. So you could put this on a 42-inch screen somewhere and be alerted of any state changes. But you could also create this dashboard, for instance, for network to see. I want to have a look at my environment switches, for instance, in Europe, in the Netherlands, in a certain city, et cetera. So you can create your own click-through, drill-down dashboards. You could do the same thing for your business process, the number of transactions going on, the application supporting that business process, and then even drill down back into the Hyper-V hosts with the storage and with, for instance, the network connectivity going on. And these are all just Visio diagrams placed into SharePoint with the new Ops Manager add-in for System Center. Now, that's neat. One of the things we get from all this integration is that the distributed application we just saw, so the service that's been deployed in VMM, monitored in OpsMan, we actually get that as a business service in Service Manager. And it allows us to add the non-technical information because OpsMan is more the technical side of things. If I click in Service Manager on this same stock trader definition, we actually see that we can fill in who's the service owner, who are the service contacts, what's my SLA. I can have a look at the service component, so the same definition we get from VMM, from OM, and we can even extend it with our own forms and information on who's the technical application manager, what's the recovery point objective, etc. So there's a full end-to-end integration. And if I were to load my Azure Management Pack in here as well, I would even get my Azure services. I could still from there also add what are my SLAs and start running my business processes from there. Okay. So that's the monitoring side of things. So if you look at the application delivery lifecycle that we have and where System Center plays a role, you actually see that it starts with the application specification. If it's on-premise, it could very well be that you're doing that in VMM, storing the template itself in a library, packaging up server app V packages and sequences, and then creating the template to configure the OS part of things, the hardware part of things, and all these other things we need to do. We can customize the deployment, choose the most appropriate cloud, and VMM will figure out which are the best hosts. We can deploy the service, of course, maintain it, configure it, monitor it through APM, through Operations Manager, backup through DPM, etc. But the most important part is then with that definition, we can also update the applications based on the template. It means that to us, cloud is a journey. We're not going to replace things in a sense. You need to start over, but take what you have, take System Center on top of that, and start creating your own private cloud. But if there's a need for instance, temporary bursting for temporary applications or just not wanting to invest in your own infrastructure anymore, you could also take Windows Azure and use the public cloud to run your applications on. Even with the new infrastructure as a service, things like AppV, VMs, you could run in Azure. To us, it's both. So we'll understand you always have some kind of on-premise situation. You might take advantage of the public offerings. So we'll be calling it hybrid IT, and System Center surely supports these hybrid technologies, as you just see. And it's ready now. So System Center 2012, Hyper-V, Windows Server 2012 coming out. Things are ready now. So if you want to learn more about System Center and these clouds, MyTechEd, Microsoft Learning, Microsoft TechNet, MSDN, of course. And we'd love to hear from you, so please fill out the evaluation so we can understand what are the things we can improve on these sessions, what do you want to hear in the next conference, etc., and can win great prizes. So with that, I actually want to open up for any questions you might have, if there are any. Could you speak a bit louder? So the question being, I'll just repeat the question is, can we choose a specific host instead of VMM letting decide which host to deploy an application to? You actually can. During my deployment, and I'll switch back to VMM to just show you, when I took... where are they? Here. Service template. I opened up the design and then I said configure for deployment. Here it actually prompts me where do you want to deploy this. And if I just leave it up to cloud, it'll just figure out whatever host you'll need. But I can also select the host group. Now I can just create one group, one folder that contains one host, and I'll say that's my designated something folder. And then I can choose that folder, and it will just pick that one host. Absolutely, yeah. And the same goes for VM template. So this is a total service. If it's just one VM you're deploying, same goes for deploying this VM template. You can specify a specific host or VMware resource pool or whatever you want to deploy it to. And so I'm not really understanding what you want to achieve there. Okay. Okay. So to repeat the question, if I were to deploy these apps, I would take the server somewhere else where VMM couldn't connect back into it, would it still work? In essence, it would still work because we'll just be the deployment engine, and once it deploys, you can move the server, and you'll probably see in the event log that the VMM agent says we can't connect back into, error, error, and you might want to disable the agent, but the app will still be running. Of course, you won't have the management of that app and of that server anymore because we won't see it. But even if you have high secure environments, things like a DMZ or a non-domain joined host, you can work with certificates and encrypted ports to manage from VMM, if you will. So, and you could reattach as well if you have a VMM on that other side that a customer might maintain, or you could connect the agent back into that VMM and gain some management back. Yeah. Thank you. Any more questions? Okay. I guess that's it. Thank you for attending, and have a great rest of the conference. Thank you.